The following presentation was recorded before a live audience during the 2013 Health and Wellness Seminar held in Conception Bay, South Newfoundland. Our presenter was Dr. Tim Riesenberger, and the title of this special supplemental presentation was How to Live to Be 100. It is our hope that you will be informed, encouraged, and inspired as you listen to this presentation.
All right, how to live to be 100. You know, some people say they wouldn't even want to live to be 100 because quantity without quality doesn't matter, right? But we're going to talk about not just the quantity, but the quality of life. You know, most people think about living to 100 or living even to their 90s. What do they normally think is depending on? What's the factor that they normally think of? Their health, exactly. And what factor? They say, well, my such and such lived to whatever. You know, they usually think about their genetics, right? And they think that they're kind of locked in. They're locked in by their genetics. But I think that you'll find, as we go through this presentation, that you have a lot more control than you would give yourself credit for. And so, without further ado, living to be 100. Forever young is what we always want to be, right? We always look back at our youth. We look back at the times when we were, perhaps teenagers or in our early 20s. There's a multi-billion dollar industry on keeping people young, whether it's an industry of plastic surgery in my discipline, you know, as a physician, or it's an industry of even makeup or clothes or whatever. We're always trying to do things that make us look younger, right? We want to go back to where we were before. And so my question is, are we just superficial? Are we just fed by the media? Well, I don't know. I don't think it's exactly that. I don't think we're really superficial. I think there's an innate reason why we all desire to live forever. We desire to be young. And if you consider the human brain, huge field of research. I don't know if any of you have ever heard that the average person only uses about 5% of their brain. Have you ever heard about that? Actually, they found that even people that are super geniuses, like an Albert Einstein or something like that, they only use a little bit less than 10% of their brain, even in their whole lifetimes. So I think there's a design in our body, in our physiology, in our anatomy, that makes us, geared to live much longer than we do. And we'll find out how to do that. This is an article from National Geographic. Do you guys get National Geographic here? So this is just an article from National Geographic, well-known magazine. And they looked at three different people groups that live the longest on the planet. The first place we're going to go to is Celanus, Sardinia. Anyone know where Sardinia is? It's in Italy. So this is a shepherd in Italy, 75 years old. And so the lifestyle of Sardinia, we're going to examine that to try to figure out why do these people live so long? Well, the people have a fanatical zeal for the family. This is actually four generations of one family. This guy is the patriarch. He's 103 years old. They come together every week or more for a meal, all four generations. What's interesting about Sardinia is usually who lives longer, men or women? Women, yeah. So women outlive men by an average of 7 or 8 years oftentimes in almost all countries except for Sardinia. The ratio of men to women that live into their hundreds is 1 to 1. And normally that's 1 to 4 for centenarians or people who live into their hundreds. So for some reason, men have a greater advantage here in the society. They're thinking it's possibly that they have a very outdoor life. They have an agrarian society. People have their own gardens. But something to consider is that Sardinia is an island. So it's quite isolated, like you guys are an island. So does their geography help them? Well, this is Giuseppe. He's 85 years old, and his attitude towards activity is very interesting. If he stayed home, he feels that he would be sick. And what they do is, contrary to this picture, they actually eat quite a bit of fruits, veggies, eggplant, tomatoes, fava beans, whole grains, pecorino cheese. It's a type of cheese they have that is very high in omega-3 fatty acids. Have you ever heard of those? They're finding that omega-3 fatty acids are very, very important for the body. They're found in things like flaxseed, certain types of seaweeds. Many people in this province would probably try to get them from more cold water fishes. And the red wine is a very interesting phenomenon. There's a compound in the red wine. It doesn't come from the alcohol itself. It actually just comes from the grapes. But they found that that compound, it's basically in red and white grapes. It's called resveratrol and quercetin. You don't have to remember that. But it's a very powerful antioxidant. For some reason, their grapes have two or three times more than the mainland. So perhaps a reason why they live longer is they have sort of an advantage in their soil. Also, something to consider is that it's an island. They found that 8 out of 10 of the Sardinians are directly related to the original inhabitants. So that might be a reason why they live so long. The interesting thing, though, is now Sardinia is being affected by obesity. Obesity is being overweight. And now it's hitting 10% of them. Now, that may seem like a very small number to you, but remember, before, they had none. No one was overweight in Silanus. So now it's kind of changing. And again, there's only about 2,400 of these people in that village, so it's kind of a small sample. So we go to the next people group that lives a long time, and that is the land of the rising sun. Does anyone know where Okinawa is? Japan, that's right. Okinawa is in Japan. Here's a lady kind of examining a little pinch of seaweed there for lunch later that day. Okinawa, compared to North America, average lifespan for men is 78, for women, for men 78, for women 86. Now, that's a lot longer than North America. In my country, it's about 79, 78 is the average lifespan for men and women, the average. So this would be more like 82. So they're quite a lot longer lived than North Americans. They have about one-fifth the heart disease in North America and about one-fourth the breast and prostate cancer of North Americans. Their diet is mostly plant-based, and they have something called ikigai. Ikigai is very interesting. In their culture, it basically means the reason you live, the reason you get up. They have purpose. And I can tell you that from my standpoint, I deal with people that are sick all the time as a physician. I work in the emergency department in the hospital, and I deal with people that are geriatric in their older 60s, their 70s, their 80s, all the time. And it's very interesting because there's two groups of the elderly. One group is my patients, and one group is, who else do you think I work with in the hospital that's elderly? The volunteers, that's right, the volunteers. So the people who are volunteering, they're retirees, but they are active. And the difference between being someone who's helping me and someone in the bed is whether or not you chose to stay active. That's very interesting. So these people are living into their 80s, 90s. This guy actually does the decathlon every year for seniors, and it's the reason you wake up in the morning. The Okinawans grow their own food, but it's very interesting. They eat more food but weigh less. How is that possible? Well, they eat foods that are low in caloric density. What does that mean? Well, they can have a big pot of miso soup, carrots, potatoes, tofu, cabbage, stuff like that, and their whole meal can be big, but the amount of calories is equivalent to just a small hamburger. So they eat more, but it's lower in caloric density. They're active into their hundreds. They work in their own gardens. This is Seri Toguchi. He's 104 years old. And this is him taking a little nap in his garden. You know, it's interesting. I wanted to know why he wore the red gloves. It's not anything to do with living long. It's just that they're easier for him to see. And he can find them. I thought that was very interesting in the article. They also belong to something called a moai. A moai is something in Japanese culture which is people you go through life with. So it's a social network. They're very connected in this culture. So these ladies in their moi, they meet three or four times a week. They've known each other for decades, and they go through the challenges and the joys of life together. together. It's not just a social club. They've actually found that having this kind of connection makes you live longer and better. In fact, there's an interesting study that came out. How many people have brothers and sisters in this room? How many people have sisters? Did you know that if you maintain a close relationship with your sister throughout life, you will have a very low incidence of depression? In other words, if you have a close connection with your sister and you talk to them, you share with them, you actually lower your incidence of depression, which will make you live longer. Now, why it didn't work out for brothers, I'm not sure. But I'm just letting you know that we are not meant to be isolated atoms. We're not meant to be an island. We're meant to be together with our families, with our friends, with our communities. The other problem, though, with Okinawa is just like Sardinia, they're experiencing some problems because Okinawa now has gone to the Western diet. Anyone recognize this? McDonald's, the fall of society. So Okinawa now has the highest rate of obesity in all of Japan. So they are losing their longevity edge. Now I'm going to go to a very interesting thought that came to me while I was reading this article. As I said, well, wait a minute. How does this help me? You know, I don't live in an island where everyone is related to the original founders. I don't live out in the country. I don't have my own garden, right? I live in a city where there's lots of smog and pollution, right? Is there any chance that I could possibly have of living to 100? Watch this. This lady is Marge Jeton. In this picture, she had just renewed her driver's license at 100 years old. She lives in smoggy, sunny California, smoggy Southern California in this picture. Loma Linda, California, as a matter of fact, Inland Empire, Riverside, near LA. Think that's a clean area? No way. Not just pollution from smog, but noise, right? Crime, stuff like that. But amazingly enough, she is not alone. This is one of my colleagues, Frank Shearer, MD, is the oldest water skier on the planet at 100 years old. He's outlived us as physicians by about 50 years, the average lifespan. Is he an isolated case? Actually, no. Instead of a couple thousand of these people, there's 20 million worldwide. Who are they? They are the Seventh-day Adventists. The article in National Geographic looked at one of my professors. I went to Loma Linda University for medical school, and then I went to Stanford University for my residency. But Ellis Wareham still did cardiac surgery in his 90s. He didn't retire. Because when you retire, you expire. They have found that people who remain active in their 60s, their 70s, their 80s, not just physically, but with their minds, maintain their health and their personalities and their intellects a lot better than other people. In fact, I just came across a study in National Geographic recently. It was just this month. And they showed that someone who learns another language is actually protected from getting Alzheimer's dementia. In fact, I'll give you a real case. I had a gentleman who came in, and he had had a relatively clean lifestyle, wasn't on a lot of medications. He had had a stroke, and that's it. And I think he was taking an aspirin. That's about all. He was pretty young. He was like 71, 72. But I noticed his last name. It seemed Hispanic, and I could tell he was from Argentina. So I came in. I actually speak and read and write Spanish fluently as well as English. So I spoke to him in Spanish, and his wife interrupted me and said, "No, can you speak English to my husband?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm speaking Spanish because I feel it's easier for him because it's his native language." Yes, it was his native language. And I said, "Really? Was?" And she said, "Well, he had a stroke, and since he's had a stroke, he can only speak English." Because what happens when you learn a language is the language is placed on the other side of your brain. Did you know that? So if you stroke out one side but you have another language, you're still good. You can still talk. So he, even though he was a native Spanish speaker, he could still communicate because he had learned English later in life. That's a very interesting case. But they do find that if you know one in general, it's protective, not just in case you've had a stroke, but in case you develop dementia, it kind of slows the onset. The Adventists also have a specific reason in their purpose for life. Seventh-day Adventists are the only Christian group that was named in this article. They're Protestants, and their purpose is serving others. I can tell you, when I went to medical school there, there was always some team going off to some mission trip. Does anyone know what cleft lip and palate is? Cleft lip and palate? Seen those babies with the hair lip and stuff like that? Every month we have trips. Our plastic surgeons go around the world fixing all those things for babies. We had a heart transplant team that went around the world. We had all kinds of trips to Mexico all the time. So as far as this people group, one of the reasons they live longer is that they have a purpose of serving their fellow man as their ikigai, if you remember from the Okinawans. Lydia Newton, also a Seventh-day Adventist, at the time this article was written, was among the 20 oldest people on the face of the planet. The one person ahead of her was 115, so 3 years ahead. Very interesting. The article asks, is it good genes? Well, probably not, because Adventists come from all races, all parts of the world. In fact, even though the world population of Adventists is closer to 20 million, there's only about a million or two in North America. Not really that many. So the author kind of asks, well, is it religion? Is it their God that's doing this? And what they said was God may or may not have a difference in their living longer, but their religion does. Very interesting. So about 20 million scattered around the planet. Many, especially the very oldest, are not isolated or in the country, come from all races. The common bond is religion and lifestyle. Most people know Adventists from their hospital systems, right? Most people know about Adventists as a vegetarian or their educational systems and things like that. But it's very interesting. You know, I happen to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, but I found the portion of this article very unique because it is not all one thing. Because many times when you find a people group living a long time, that you want to put something on it. You want to say, well, it's their diet, right? Or it's their lifestyle here. Or it's where they live. Or, well, it's this or that. But it's not any one thing. As you read the article and compare it with the actual habits, all the people groups in Okinawa, in Sardinia, and in Loma Linda, the Adventists, they had plant-based diets. They didn't smoke or drink. Family is very important. Daily activity was a common bond. But again, it's not all diet. Half of Seventh-day Adventists actually eat meat. Half are vegetarian. Not all faith either, because you consider other denominations that have a clean lifestyle. I know, for instance, I have some friends that are Mormon. They don't smoke. They don't drink. They don't drink coffee, just like Seventh-day Adventists. But they don't live longer. Why? There's something else that's going on. So we're going to actually explore some of that, not just tonight, but we're actually going to explore this just in the weeks and months to come. I know Jason will be putting on more events, not just in a lecture form, but maybe more practical basis, you know, to teach you how to perhaps incorporate more plant foods into your diet.
At this point in our presentation, Dr. Riesenberger played a special feature from the National Geographic Magazine website. Due to copyright restrictions, we are unable to share the audio recording of that feature here, but we wish to encourage you to view and listen to that presentation on the National Geographic website yourself. To find it, please visit ngm.nationalgeographic.com/sites_n_sounds/index.html. We return now to listen to Dr. Tim Riesenberger's presentation entitled How to Live to Be 100.
Very interesting article. You know, David McLean, you know, said a few things that kind of piques my interest as a physician and as a scientist. I was very fascinated by this article because, of course, he's not Okinawan, he's not Sardinian, and he's not Seventh-day Adventist. He's just writing the article. But did you notice, though, that the cultures of longevity are slipping away? Did you notice him comment on that? Both Sardinia and Okinawa were actually losing their edge. The only people group of the three that is maintaining their longevity is the last group, the Seventh-day Adventists. He kind of said something interesting to just give you an idea. He said the Adventists live 10 years longer than their American counterparts. What does that mean? Well, that means they live an average of 89 years, which is significantly more than the American population, since we live about 78, 79. One thing I wanted to share is also an article from U.S. News and World Reports. Has anyone ever heard of U.S. News and World Reports? I mean, they've got all kinds of stuff, but this was actually taken from an article fairly recent, February 20th, 2009, and they looked at 20,000 people, kind of followed their lifestyle for several years. These are the 10 habits of people who live to be 100. These are the common threads in their lifestyle. And some of them you could probably guess. Do you think they smoke? No. Do you think they drink? No. But some of the things you may not be able to guess. Did you know that flossing is related to longevity? Very interesting. You know, the guy who actually did the study on this, I was very intrigued. He felt that you had to floss not just daily, but if you look at the handout, he says, I really do think people should floss twice a day to get the biggest life expectancy benefits. Who would have thought that flossing your teeth would actually make a difference? Now, why is that? Well, there's lots of theories, but they're finding that to get coronary artery disease, which is what sets you up for a heart attack, it's not just the cholesterol. You have to have something that inflames the coronary arteries, and they're actually finding that with the bacteria in your mouth, if you don't floss and you get what's called gingivitis or gum disease, that bacteria will actually go into your bloodstream and seed areas in your heart. So that's what they're kind of thinking may be the mechanism of why people who floss regularly actually live longer. The other stuff is pretty typical. You know, people stay active, people volunteer, exercise is a big component. One of the interesting things I found is people who eat a fiber-rich cereal for breakfast. How many of you like, someone told me they ate oatmeal yesterday, I can't remember who that was, but how many of you like to eat cereals for breakfast? Great habit. They're finding that it not only does it jumpstart your metabolism, but it actually gives you better control of your blood sugar throughout the day, which may be a lower incidence of diabetes for you. Other typical ones, people slept at least 6 hours a night. Also something we were talking about in the back room, the people who lived the longest, they ate foods, not pills. People are asking me about supplements. I shared with you the Finnish, they did this study in people in Finland who smoked, and they wanted to see the effect of antioxidants. Does anyone know what antioxidants are? Vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, and selenium are the big antioxidants. They wanted to see if that had any effect on whether or not they would develop lung cancer down the road. So they split them into three arms. One group was the control group, which basically just smoked and didn't do anything, right? The other group took supplements, vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, and selenium. The other group took the same amounts of those antioxidants, but in the form of food, right? So carrots, strawberries, oranges, Brazil nuts, things like that. So they ate the same amounts, but in the form of food. And this was an amazing study because several years down the road, they noticed that these smokers started to develop lung cancer, and as they will, right? But they had to stop the study prematurely because they found that the ones who were eating the foods got the least amount of cancer. But they expected that, right? They're eating more plants, plant foods, you know, grains, vegetables, fruits, things like that. But then when they compared the control group to the vitamin group was getting more cancer than the people who did nothing. They had to stop it. They said, get these people off. You know, these vitamins, there's something going on here. Now, do they know exactly what's happening? Not really sure, but I think the message is clear. It's about eating whole foods and not supplements. And that's what this number six says. It says consume whole foods, not supplements. One is your attitude to how people respond to stress is very important. Has anyone ever heard of what's called a type A personality? They looked at type A personality, people that are always on time, people that are organized, people that are always busy, people that are driven, right? These are the leaders, right? The movers and shakers of our society. And they tried to figure out what about the type A personality was giving them more heart attacks. Because the type A personality is associated with increased risk of MI or heart attack. But they found it wasn't the being on time, it wasn't the organization, it wasn't the drive. You know what it was? Hostility towards others. When the others weren't on time and they got angry, just during the episode of anger, they increased their risk of heart attack by 2 or 3 fold, just in the 30 minutes of getting angry. And also, that trait was the very trait they isolated to find where the risk factor was. So it's not what you're eating sometimes, it's what's eating you. Does that make sense? So it's okay to be a type A personality, just don't be hostile towards others. Don't have anger, resentment, bitterness when they don't measure up, right, to your abilities. That's the key with the type A personality. So, you know, roll with the punches, relax, stuff like that. What I found very intriguing is, did you see what number 8 says? It comes up again, live like a Seventh-day Adventist. This is a secular magazine. They are not Christian at all. And basically they say the Americans who define themselves as Seventh-day Adventists have an average life expectancy of 89, which is about 10 years longer than the average American. And basically the aspects of their lifestyle that they felt were protective was, you know, eating a plant-based diet, not smoking, not drinking, you know, not eating excessive sweets, eating lots of fruits, vegetables, beans, nuts, and getting plenty of exercise and a focus on the family and community. One of the things that's very hard for me is that I'm an ER doc, so my shifts are always changing. And that's a problem because number 9 is to be a creature of habit, to get up, to go to sleep, to eat at the same time every day. Your body thrives on rhythm. Have any of you ever wondered why we have such a hard time getting up for work on Monday morning? You ever thought about that? It's because the body's rhythm can adapt itself to minor change. And minor change means actually a change in your schedule only one day a week. So in other words, when you have a work week that's 5 days, right? But you sleep in on Saturday, you sleep in, right, on Sunday, your body begins to adapt, and so it's hard on you for Monday. So what I would suggest is you go a little closer to what the body's design is. Its design is to do the same schedule 6 days a week rather than 5. And you'll find that your ability to get up on Monday is a lot different. If you allow your schedule to change both days, though, you're in for trouble on Monday morning. And that's a very interesting concept because the concept of the Sabbath that, you know, the author actually talked about, that Seventh-day Adventists take a break one day a week. On Saturday, they unplug, you know, don't do any work, stuff like that. The last part we already kind of learned about, stay connected. Regular social contacts with your family and friends is absolutely critical if you're going to live a long time. So, in summary, it is lifestyle related, and I think the best practices is to take these groups that live a long time, see what they have in common, and see what you can incorporate into yours. The thing that I found that was very intriguing is that this article gave you an opportunity, and in the last 10 minutes here, the guy who authored this article is Dr. David Pearls, and he has a lifetime risk calculator for if you are going to live a long time or not. So any of you who want to take the lifetime, the calculator, you can also go to this website. It's just livingto100.com. You just go take a look. and they'll give you some insights. Again, I don't have any stock in this website or anything like that. It's not, from my medical school or residency. I just felt it was pretty solid as far as what they looked at, because they asked a lot of the things that we look at in the medical literature, not just the lifestyle, but the mental and social aspects of your life. And I think that really the bottom line is that you notice that a lot of these questions were about things that you did or did not do. Does that make sense? There was only a few questions that asked about genetics. Did you notice that? There were, did you have a relative that lived in the 90s? Stuff like that. There was only a few questions like that. So if you walk away with anything from this lecture, remember what the guy from the National Geographic article said. Genetics only account for about 30% of your longevity, and the rest of it is up to you. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to a special presentation sponsored by the Bay Roberts Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is our desire, as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with our community, to foster an environment that promotes a holistic approach to living, with appropriate attention to health of body, health of mind, and health of spirit for all. We seek to accomplish this service to our community by providing health, family, and personal spiritual enrichment programs. This congregation of Christian believers meets each Saturday morning for Bible study as well as for praise and worship. If you would like to know more about the Bay Roberts Seventh-day Adventist Church or to find out what other community events are ongoing or upcoming, please visit us on the web at www.bayrobertssda.org. Or if you'd prefer, feel free to write Bay Roberts Seventh-day Adventist Church, P.O. Box 930. Bay Roberts, Newfoundland, A0A1G0. Or reach us by telephone at 709-786-7516. May God richly bless you and yours.